Extra Points is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. It has great odds and markets for the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, and so much more. Awesome new and existing user promotions. It's America's number one sportsbook because it's easy to use, because it's safe and secure, and you get your winnings fast. Now, winnings are delivered in as quick as 2 hours, and it's fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same game parlay. Discover the most popular same game parlays each day right when you log in, and if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code Extra Points so they know I sent you.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good pals, Dave Damashek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Monday morning. Yes, spaghetti and meatballs are fiddling with the knobs. Babyface Joel Solomon is producing this mess. And joining me as always, my dear pals, Dave Damashek, Martin Weiss, who were sorely missed at Harry's wedding. We're back from the big extravaganza in Phoenix. We're going to be grading the props. It was a big prop challenge, you know, Sheck, on extrapoints.com/arcade. And there are some in flux. We're not sure how to grade any. But, what more can I say about... the guy interrupted his own vows. He decided to take a break from the vows and give a pick. And the pick lost by double digits. He had the Celtics money line. And that was it. I mean, that's the wedding in a nutshell. I don't know what else to say, really.
Well, it seemed like, from what I could tell from the social media posts and otherwise, that priest seemed crazy. I don't know where Harry dug that guy up from. But boy, oh boy, the go and find on Extra Points Pod on social media, your favorite handle there. Track it down because you can see Harry's new bride in the background crying. And I feel she represents all of us. Poor woman. I don't know.
Yeah. The priest you talk about was our friend Tony, still writes on Jimmy Kimmel Live, wrote with us on The Man Show, many shows for many. Very, very, very funny.
Was him.
Yes. I didn't want to.
Makes sense then. Yeah.
But you're right. Angie in the background, as Harry's giving his pick, she's like waving herself, like, oh my God, this is, but like in a good way. I don't know. It was very, very weird. Martin, did it make you want to get married more or less?
As the sole member, what I should start out and say, I'm glad to hear that Dave Damashek was also watching this on social media, because I got very jealous of looking at a beautiful picture of Eddie Spaghetti and that getup that he had on. I mean, classic. You look great this weekend, Spaghetti, first of all. Yes. Second of all, if
pink
I do
blazer.
Get married, that's what I'm saying. It was amazing.
Appropriate for late spring, yeah.
If I do get married, I want it to be something similar to that. Well, let's have a good time here, because like leaning in and giving the pick, I would say this though. You got to give a winner on your wedding day.
Yeah,
that's the biggest faux pas of it all. That's the biggest mistake that was made in my estimation. You got to give a winner.
Faux pas or a harbinger of things to come? Let's hope not. Fingers crossed. Yeah. Eddie right. Spaghetti, guy of a certain carriage in that jacket looked like a pink dot truck coming up into the wedding there. But I feel like Eddie Spaghetti and I, let's just lay it bare here. We're all excited about our teams, as every football fan is, coming off the NFL draft. We all feel like we just hit home runs there. In the Pittsburgh Steelers fans' case, I think that is in fact the case. I'm over the moon about that. But the puck's about to drop. As the late, great Badger Bob Johnson used to say, it's a great day for hockey. Good luck to the 16 that made the big tourney, the best postseason tournament in all of sport. Let's get to it.
We're going to talk about that. We have so much to discuss. We have your Pittsburgh Penguins taking on the Rangers. Dave versus Eddie. We'll discuss that. You know what? Let's do it now. Let's do it now, really quickly. Now, Sheck, I don't know why. First of all, I was with Eddie when he found out that the Penguins were favored. Right now, it's basically a pick 'em. It's minus 115, minus 105. It's a coin tossy as it gets. But early on Friday, the odds came out on FanDuel. Spaghetti found out the Penguins were favored, and I think he would have been less upset if he found out that his girlfriend Jada hooked up with a DJ at the wedding. He was devastated. Devastated, Spaghetti, right? Am I overselling this?
You're 100% right. I mean, for a team that outscored this Penguins squad 11-4, the only game the Penguins won, they scored one goal. It was a miserably officiated game. And for the disrespect, and I know it's probably dumb to say, like, the people who are setting these odds are kind of, I don't know, still enthralled by Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. Like, these aren't the same players, not the same Penguins team of past years. Mm. The Rangers team has the Norris Trophy winner from last year. It has the Vezina winner this year, a 50-goal scorer. They have great players in the third and fourth lines, which the Penguins don't have. I don't get it. And it just seemed like a slight, another like chip on the shoulder for a really good underrated Rangers team. So I was pretty fired up.
Well, listen, we're going to, Shaq, you're not allowed to, I don't like your stance here because you picked the Rangers to win after laughing at Spaghetti, we determined you laughed at him when he suggested the Rangers could win the cup like a month ago, maybe a little more. And now you're on board with the Rangers winning the cup, but they play against the Penguins. There need to be stakes here. And we decided you're going to have to, one of you, the loser of this series, is going to dip into the cap of consequences. Now, which team?
Like hell, why would I do? I'm not putting my ass on the line for the Penguins. They're not playing well. I'm not a lunatic. As I always say,
it's a coin flip. You have to.
I know
you
it's have very to do easy. It. Just as a reminder, apparently, because we need to issue another one. I know it is a common charge on the poor head of handsome Dave Damashek that I'm a homer. No. A homer can't see straight. I want things to happen.
You just can't talk
I don't
straight.
Think, so, yeah. But sometimes what I hope I see happen doesn't equal what I think is
I
going
know,
to happen.
I'm not
so
saying.
So that's it. What do you want me to tell you? I'm not picking the Penguins against the team that flew into the playoffs when the Pens limped in. I mean, what do you want me to tell you?
Spaghetti.
I just don't know how you can go back to Pittsburgh and look at yourself in the mirror. Like, your parents still live there. Like, your parents still live there. Like, you still have a heart. You still a pillar in the society, Dave. Like, where's your Pittsburgher spirit?
Did you? I know you're too young, Marty Weiss, but back in 1980,
here we go.
A plucky crew of, you know, college kids from Hockey America got together and they pulled off a tremendous upset. They wore red, white, and blue. This time, the team that's playing like the Soviets wears red, white, and blue.
Hold on a second.
The plucky underdogs wear black and gold. Let's go, Pens! One more run! One more! This is the end. I know we've been talking about it for half a decade, or I have been talking about it. When is it going to end for Malkin and Letang and Crosby? This is it. This is the last time they play together. Change is coming.
All right.
One last run.
I can't listen to this for 2 weeks and have no consequences on the line here. This is not a I think so much we're going to win that I will pilk at. This is one of you has to suffer because your team lost. Spaghetti, you said he would take the challenge, and now he's skirting it, but still
not
screaming at us about
anything.
The Penguins.
Pick a different series.
Not only would I take the challenge, I feel like if the Rangers lose, my consequences have to be way harsher because, like, they should be the favorite of the Rangers.
It's a pick 'em series.
And then they're the far better team. So they're playing with their backup goaltender. I mean, like, day before in a text, one of our friends said that the it would be good for the NHL. He included the Penguins if they made.
Sure.
I don't agree with that in any sense. There is the Pittsburgh is not a big market and nobody cares about Crosby anymore.
I'm not caring about the market. Well, that's not true. Obviously.
It is. There's fatigue of Crosby.
No, you as a rival of the Penguins, of course, are tired of hearing about the greatness of one of the five best players in the history of people. Now, that's different, though, than what would be good for the game, for the soul of the game. If you get the two high-flying teams from the West, Colorado and Edmonton on one side, Toronto at the epicenter of hockey against a team that's won three Stanley Cups in the last 12 years, or the emerging juggernaut in the New York Rangers, either one of those is good for hockey.
All right. Well, I'm thinking about what's good for our podcast, which is
you're right. Let's move on. But just last thing,
picking from the cap of consequences. But all right, at Babyface, I guess he's not going to do it.
Babyface will do it. Babyface will stand in for me as a Penguins fan. But Sal, for
wow, Dave, I didn't know that the yellow, black, and yellow stood for yellow belly. Do yellow belly coward.
Hey, I'm hoping for a miracle in line. It's our society needs another miracle like we saw back in 80. I think it's high time we get another one. Let's go Pens. The thing is, though, Sal, because that's what Spaghetti and I were texting about very quickly, because I think this is a good gambling 101 opportunity for you to provide the audience. Am I right about that? That New York and LA, they set those lines to bait New York based gamblers, and they have succeeded because now it's even when it opened with the Rangers being underdogs, right? People like Eddie Spaghetti pounced on FanDuel and said, "Oh, how dare they disrespect? I'll show them with my money." And now it's drawn even, right?
I don't know why they said it. Typically, that's the case. And I don't know that there's a zillion dollars coming in on the Rangers anytime since 1994. But yeah, I think that's right. They do try to bait the New York bettors. But I don't know. It started off a little even. It's kind of, I don't know. I'm not sure. You guys can analyze it better than I can. And not now, because we got to move on. But it does seem like a pick'em thing where you guys could choose from the, all right, babyface. I don't know. We're going to have to work something out here. I thought Dave was going to take the bait or was going to do this here. Doesn't look like it's happening.
This is disappointing. It is disappointing. This is like why the Pittsburgh Pirates, like he gets on me for pulling off the Pirates and not supporting. And now look what's happened. Dave, come on, for the City of Champions.
You'll do it, baby.
You will do it.
Wow.
Yeah, I know you're more man than I. Everybody knows that. You will pick from the cap of consequences on behalf of everyone residing on the banks.
Well, listen, later in the podcast, we're going to pick we're going to give our Stanley Cup predictions. We're going to pick a winner. Who knows? I guess Sheck is staying with the Rangers there, but we'll get to that later in the podcast. Right now, I want to move on to Pittsburgh sports. I can't avoid it. I do want to talk NFL draft. You know, we weren't on Friday. We had Sheck come on AAO Friday morning. Actually, it was late Thursday night when Kenny Pickett was drafted by the Steelers. At the time, it was like, this is a great story. This is fun. Why not? They have to take them. Kind of what do we have to lose attitude. But check. Then you have to admit, as we entered the third round and Kenny Pickett was the only quarterback to be drafted, you're like, oh boy, now all of a sudden, if he doesn't work out, this is one of the biggest swings and misses in NFL draft history, right? I mean, we didn't get another quarterback taken a pick 74. It was Desmond Ridder by the Falcons. Then 86, Malik Willis went to the Titans. 94, Matt Corral went to the Panthers. This is now like we tricked you into dressing up as a Ghostbuster for a Halloween party that didn't exist. You got there and everyone was dressed normally.
Well, it's also interesting that the news is, if you believe the reports, that the Steelers tried to trade up to 15. It could be perhaps for Dotson from Penn State. I mean, you could maybe make that case, but unlikely. They were probably looking to get Kenny Pickett because they feared the Saints with two picks between 16 and 19. That the thought was that they really liked Pickett and were going to go after him. So they tried to get ahead of them. So that makes it even crazier or more compelling. It doesn't mean I hear you completely. I mean, it doesn't mean that they were wrong to get Pickett, because would Pickett have gone in picks, 21 to say 34 in that range? It just because no other quarterback went there doesn't mean that other teams wouldn't have taken Pickett had the Steelers not. But
I think it kind of does, doesn't it?
Why doesn't it? I don't know, because they're not interchangeable human beings. No, maybe. I just don't think they're interchangeable.
If the next quarterback is 20. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. But if the next, just as far as quarterbacks go, surprisingly that, right? I mean, Martin, the over-under was 3.5 for the first round, and anyone who said over was way wrong. It went way under. I mean, I can't believe we were looking. Malik Willis, I joked. I was like, maybe this isn't even a real guy. Maybe this is the Sid Finch check April Fool's joke, Malik Willis. Well, how much do we know about this Liberty quarterback? But were you surprised, Martin?
So that's really what it has to be, right? Either Sheck is lying through his teeth right now, or every single sportsbook and draft analyst and everybody was just dead wrong, right? Because the idea that Kenny Pickett was just three rounds better than all these other quarterbacks was just simply not there. It wasn't reflected in the odds, and it wasn't reflected in mock drafts and all the talking heads, and everybody's like, well, how come Malik Willis was falling, right? So, I mean, I don't know, Dave. I feel you. It's the Pittsburgh guy, and especially after the performance you just put forth with your Pittsburgh Penguins, you got to kind of paint this one with the black and gold brush. Right. But I mean, I'd be concerned, man.
Honestly, Shaq is one of the few that's rejoiced. I think we're going to see not odds, but ratings, and they're going to be way down because Well, first of all, no quarterback play is not good, right, for the draft. Not that you can control this, right, for ratings, but I am into this kind of thing. But 8 out of 32 teams didn't have a first-round pick. So you're talking about a quarter of the country or a quarter of the teams representing the country, 25%, didn't have a draft pick, weren't really interested. And so if you didn't root for any of those teams or quarterbacks or players from the University of Georgia, you were out. I mean, everybody from Georgia got picked. They had 15 players taken. I think Jimmy Carter is like punting for the Seahawks or something. What was it, 15? I think, Babyface, we said that was the most from a single draft since the seven-round format in 1994. Insanity.
Here you go, Sal. Thursday night had 10.3 million viewers.
Oh, which that's is not bad. Yeah.
22% down from last year, which was 12.8. Yeah. And 34% down from 2 years ago.
I would have thought more, setting. Actually.
Yeah. It is a participatory sort of event. Yeah. It's one of the best sporting events, if not the number one sporting event, that doesn't involve any actual sports. And the Raiders, who are a national team, let alone the host of this thing, didn't have a first round pick. So, of course, that's going to dent the ratings a little bit. And the Cowboys picked late, and so right. It didn't fit. It's another national team. So I think it all amounts to that. I personally don't give a crap what the TV ratings were on the thing.
Well, I'm just overall interest. I forget about like how many eyeballs actually tuned in, but overall interest in this draft, I would think is way.
I guess because there wasn't the name brand.
I know this like much.
Right, yeah. You're right.
Watching those 15 Georgia defenders or watching those 15 Georgia players get drafted just reminded me, like Michigan had not a shot in hell in that college football playoff game, and then to see the report that your boy who's transferring from Pitt to USC is going to make more than George Pickens to play in the second round and know that Michigan is not offering millions of dollars to 18 and 19 and 20-year-old athletes right now to win national titles while there's no rules at all. It's just another point of infuriation with my university.
Well, and here's my infuriation with people like Check who say, oh, why, how do we even give the SEC an opportunity to have like 65 players drafted from the SEC. It's just a whole different league here. It really is. Like, what? Of course, but check, your counter could be Cincinnati had 9 guys drafted. When the hell are we going to see that? That was
I just wanted to push back on Marty Weiss about Georgia and say Cincinnati had 9 guys drafted. So
they did have
more.
They had more than most of the power. I mean, Oklahoma had 5 or 6. Like,
the blue blood programs like Texas, you know, I don't know if they ended up getting anybody, but Cincinnati had 6 guys. I mean, that's how crazy is that. The Bearcats over the Longhorns. Yeah. I mean, crazy.
Texas had 0 and Scott the Grizz home 0 out of 262. Actually, you should pick from the cap of consequences, having nothing. There you are back from Texas. You were out there. What was the sentiment when no Longhorns 0 were drafted?
Nobody was happy. I saw a lot of Longhorns upset on Twitter that were all claiming this will never happen again, which I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, because you guys have it, you play under the lights and everything. You really should have like 1 or 2. Shoot for like 1 or 2 guys drafted next year, I would think. No?
I don't know the exact number, but Texas is truly at the very bottom of turning out, getting talent and then turning them into pros. They I think statistically are maybe the worst Power 5 school.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it's been really bad.
Well, this year for sure. Yeah. All right, Scott, you're going to have to pick out.
Okay, guys, great.
All right, good.
See, like, how come Matthew McConaughey isn't financing a Texas football program right now? Like, I'd be furious.
They need money.
Come on, man. Just make a movie about Texas football and the rebirth and use the funds to actually go buy us a quarterback and offensive
line. Not a bad idea.
And get this thing done.
Not a bad
idea. As a man of justice, you know, I really do. I know I'm in the minority if you're a USC fan, you're over the moon. You just got the best receiver in college football. Mm-hmm. If you're a Pitt fan, you know, and a program trying to reassert itself among the big boys and everything else, it's a gut punch. But as a man of justice, of course, you can't resent the kid for taking $3 million in a contact sport. You see what happened to the Clemson kid. Just doesn't even get drafted. But a year ago, he would have, you know, been a multimillionaire. So, of course, these kids should jump on that. The system, I obviously need some tweaks, but I will say, as you bring up Texas football and the provincial pride that college football provides versus pro football or pro sports, a business, as we hear, I vote yay times a million for what the Steelers did. And I sincerely mean this, even if it doesn't work out with Kenny Pickett. You know, a mom and pop operation, whether you like it or not, the way that there are very few of these still going in pro sports, the Rooney family, either we swoon over what that means in the world of billion-dollar sports, or we don't. That the Rooney family used its seventh round pick to draft Cam Hayward's brother. Now there are four sets of brothers on one pro football team.
Yeah.
And now the quarterback who was across the hall a few weeks ago now joins the professional ranks. I think it's great. And I love the statement it makes that this is about, like, you know what? Make your teams by spreadsheet. We're making it by the rivers that flow into City Center in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Wow. I love it. I think it's a great move. I love what it says about how they regard, you know, the Dallas Cowboys. You know, Rooney said forever ago, do we want to be America's team? No, let the Cowboys have that. We're Pittsburgh's team, and that's good enough for us. I love
Congratulations.
It. I'm over the moon, sincerely.
Terrific.
Great as
You're
a sports fan.
You have four sets of brothers. You'll lead the league in wedgies or whatever. Just try to score 10 points in the first half, like seven games in a row. Within seven games, try to do that. That should be the goal, not the city of champions. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I just find it fascinating that I feel like if you kind of pay attention to what happened this year in the draft and you guys were sounding the alarms via Daniel Jeremiah earlier, like, don't be afraid. These teams aren't afraid just because they may feel like they have a guy at quarterback. Don't be afraid to see them drafting up and taking quarterbacks, right? Well, like, the back end of that is end up what happened in Cleveland, right? You have Cleveland, Baker Mayfield, and the Browns are in this weird spot. Like, they broke up. But he can't find an apartment fast enough, so they're now these roommates that hate each other. That right. could be very much the same situation in Pittsburgh, especially since Kenny Pickett knows his way around the apartment. Like, you look at Jared Goff, he's on a different team. You look at Carson Wentz, he's on a different team. Josh Rosen is on a different team. These are guys who were taken, like, in the first round, top 10, top 15 picks, who are no longer playing for the current roster. And it's just, right. I don't know, it's just interesting watching under 3.5 quarterbacks hit, like, for the first three rounds. Like, it just shows that, like, teams are a little gun shy.
Well, I think they are, because there were five last year and none of them really panned out. Maybe a couple, we could say the third overall didn't even really play, right? But so I think it went opposite, right? It's zigzagging from 2 years ago when we saw Tua, when we saw, who am I missing? Herbert and what am I? Burrow, of course.
Joe Tua Burrow. All right. Yeah. Well, so what was the takeaway? I mean, obviously you're just self-validating what you thought before the draft, you know, a few days later, but it seems to me the Jags taking Trayvon Walker, number one, like, just you took the workout warrior guy over Aiden Hutchinson. But to my earlier point, I love it for regional pride and everything else that Aiden Hutchinson now plays for the Detroit Lions. I think that's cool stuff.
Yeah.
That one, though, right out of the gate is weird. And also, why did the Seattle Seahawks take another running back? What in hell? Do they understand the rules of football about how you deploy your 11 guys on the side? What are they doing? I mean, they're pretty far away to be taken. Yet they now have five running backs that are present as, like, viable. You don't need that many, fellas.
It is weird.
Well, they don't have one quarterback, so they figure we stack the running backs.
Right, it's weird.
We'll go over offensive rookie. Kenny Pickett is the favorite to be offensive rookie of the year, 6-1. Drake London, 6-1. Treylon Burks, +750. Garrett Wilson, +850. Breece Hall, +950. We can go on. And Aiden Hutchinson on the other side, he and Thibodeau are right up there. And Trayvon Walker, 5-1, 550, and 6-1 for defensive. We'll hit that. One more draft note before we move on. Did everyone cheat and go to Twitter for the pick reveals? Like, this used to be, I think, like NFL.com or someone. You can go to a website 5, 6, 7 years ago and get the pick about 30 seconds before you saw it on ESPN or wherever. Nowadays, you go on Twitter, you could see it a full 5 minutes before anybody. I mean, it's really, and it's tough because I know, Sheck, you live a lot of your sports life. Like, look, I'll DVR it and I'll find out when I can. But the Thursday night draft is such that you're kind of everybody's right on it. And it was tough to not check it. It was really tough for Eddie Spaghetti, who pretty much ruined the draft for everybody. I mean, Spaghetti gave every Giants pick. Spaghetti knows the Giants first round pick next year already. Right, Spaghetti. What were you on? Which site were you following?
No, I was just on Twitter. I mean, the issue is, Sal, and I didn't mean to ruin it for you, but like when the Giants are picking 5 and 7, the Jets are picking 4 and 10. So all my New York friends are obviously texting constantly. Yeah, right. And I didn't want to be the last one to find out. So like for example, I know like Albert Breer was like you said, a full five minutes ahead before the Goodell came out on the stage and announced the pick. Yeah. So I just had no patience. I couldn't wait. The ESPN, NFL Network, the broadcast took way too long to get it up there.
I would go back and forth. I wanted to be surprised, but then some, you know, Cowboys I wanted to see. I don't know why. Just to think that you knew before. I don't get what the big deal is. But Martin, were you jumping back and forth, or were you?
I was about to say I have 3 TVs in my living room, and the draft was on the very small bottom. I was watching that thing on Twitter for the most of the time. Yeah. Like that was I was watching the whole thing on Twitter. Not only just the picks, but also like the walkouts. I figured all the highlights would be like the timeline would provide them for me as I saw people retweeting different things from the NFL.
So we're learning before the players now, if you check Twitter, or about the same time.
Like this, I got to be about the same time based off the way that it's being edited, because I was looking, I was like, I was looking, 10th pick, 11th pick. And I'm looking, they're still picking Drake London on TV.
Right.
I have to say though, just watching Thursday night, the New York Giants had, I'm giving out new draft grades, not like how I think they'll fit, but like actually their performance on that night. The new New York Giants on Thursday night, in my estimation, performed the best. Thibodeau's walkout, A1, and he almost performed the stiff arm on the
He did. Yeah. That would have been
almost.
Nice.
It was real close.
Giant. I don't know. I've been, you know, days 2 and 3. Like they must have dropped the ball, because they. I'm looking at these dumb draft grades, and they were not like top 3 or 4, and they should have been after day one, right? Spaghetti. What did I miss there?
No, you're totally right there. I think day one, it was, you know, they got lucky, picks that they needed fell into their lap, and then you can make the argument they kind of reached or overvalued some guys in the later rounds, except I think outside of the fifth round, they got some good value. But, the New York Jets were the better New York drafting team, I think, in this past draft.
Yeah, that was another bad thing about this draft. The Jets didn't screw up, the Giants didn't screw up, and the Raiders didn't have a first-round pick to screw up. So that was another reason people wouldn't tune in. And Twitter, Shaq, is another reason. Like, I don't know. Did you follow Twitter? Maybe it'll always go down now, the ratings, because of Twitter.
I did, and they really tried to – the league really tried to clamp down on that and, you know, made, you know, minor threats about do not be – tipping picks and all that kind of stuff. And that was a few years ago, but it seems like the media has won that right back, or they don't care whatever the league seems to hold over them. But yeah, I mean, you know, listen, Adam Carolla forever ago.
Where did he get drafted?
Long I don't know snapper. Whatever happened to that
long
guy.
Snapper, right?
He really should have gone. Yeah. Hopefully he can sign with his beloved Rams.
Yeah.
As a UFDA. Is that what a U free? No, UDFA.
I don't know.
UDFA. Anyway.
I don't think he graduated high school. So yeah, no, but
might
yeah,
be a problem. Right. Yeah. Might be a problem. Either way, he once said forever ago when we were on the radio together that he said, you know, what would definitely be interesting is if I, as we go to break, say, I'm going to flip this coin, heads or tails, call it in the air. He flipped a coin. Shaq, what do you got? I said, heads. He said, we'll tell you the answer when we get back from this break, because inherently a heads or tails choice is compelling stuff. So too is who did my team get? It's why you watch, even if you don't care about who the best picture is. If you happen to be on TV on the Oscars, you're like, oh, I want to see who wins. There's something, you know, intrinsic about what's interesting about watching that announcement be made there. But I was really that dupe watching. I was like, I'm not going to see on Twitter. I'm not going to look on social media. I'm going to get excited to see this Steelers pick organically as a fan. And then I thought to myself, what the hell am I talking about? Of course I'm going to see who they pick in advance. What do I need that big reveal for?
Well, because you start convincing yourself that you're less of a fan if you know about something after most of the fans, right?
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's a weird
right.
psychological thing that happens. But
right. It's not like we talked about a couple weeks ago with music. You know, there's something too, like, I was in on this band. I saw them when there were only 9 other people in this small little club. And now they're playing big arenas. I was in on them early, and I'm resentful of everybody else who's the Johnny come late. I mean, well, that really is the dynamic at play here. But to answer your question, I was looking at the picks in advance of everybody else. Also because kind of, I find the whole Goodell hugging the players, this grasp for cool or something that he's looking for. It's like, see, I'm hip. Football is family. See, everybody, I'm the commish. I'm at the top of the mountain, and I'm welcoming these 21-year-old superhumans to the club, to the family or whatever. Like, I find it all kind of
repellent. And I think that's why he does it. I think he's like, everybody hates me. I'm getting booed anyway. Watch, they're going to hate me more because I have something with the players here, which I don't really have anything, but I'm gonna showboat it. But
no, yeah. What they need to do is revamp the TV show of it all. Like, first of all, it wasn't a TV show when it started. Now they tried to, like, engineer a TV show out of this. And now that you're being scooped by reporters because, you know, it's the 21st century and people can get this information, what they really need to do is keep a running track of who breaks it first and have it up on the screen and make the draft make the draft a double competition, right? You have all the teams competing against one another to get the best player in the best slot.
Right.
And then right there, you got the Rappaports and the Schefters and the Pelliceros and the Mike Silvers and the Albert Breers and a battle Twitter Royale right there. And
let's just do it for the NBA draft. And then Woj, we could bet on Woj or bet against Woj. It'd be his biggest nightmare. That would be great.
That's what they need to do. ESPN, y'all got that one for free.
Also, the other thing I'll just say very quickly is, the OG fan versus the knockoffs, like I say about an indie band that makes it big. In a way, I find it kind of like just vaguely off-putting. I'm sorry, other human beings, if you fit into this crowd, but the Jets and Giants fans at Radio City reacting and booing every pick.
Right.
Even that became self-aware, and they were doing it for the cameras a little bit. Right. But when that was going on organically, that was really funny and awesome. It's an awesome element. Now it feels like grown-ups in makeup all gathered into their little groups like it's a political convention or something. Feels like a little bit of a put on, you know, it feels like a performance a little bit. I don't love that whole thing. Who did the Chiefs get? Cut to their fan base and they're in makeup and they're super excited. Like, I don't know. I don't love the show of it so much.
It's fine. All right. Hey, let's take a break. Talked a lot about draft. We'll go quickly through the NBA stuff. We got NHL. We have our play of the day. So we'll be right back. All right, NBA, both home teams lost yesterday. Game one started series. Bucks beat up on the Celtics, but we could have told you that because Harry gave it. That was during his wedding. He gave, during the vows, he interrupted and gave the Celtics -200 as his best bet. So the Bucks are up 1-0, -126 for the series now, Martin. That's strange to me because it seems like the Celts had him right where they wanted him, right? Like, Giannis put up decent numbers in the end, but his shooting performance was not great. No Chris Middleton, probably not going to change. I don't know. The Celtics took and missed a bunch of two-pointers, so that was weird. They shot more three-pointers than they ever shot. I don't know what to do with this series, but I feel like the Bucks should be favored more than -126 being up 1-0 and stealing home court.
I think so, too. I mean, I thought they should have been favored to start the series because Boston was, right? I think what we're seeing is that the very reason why, and obviously it's just one game, but the very reason why the Celtics were able to dominate the Nets, their size, is the reason why the Bucks dominated the Celtics in game one. Like, they sub out Chris Middleton. All right, well, Bobby Portis is a cool 6'10", right? They have, like, everybody on that team. Sub Drew Holiday is over like 6'5", and it's giving Tatum and Brown. That's why they shot so many threes. It's there's nowhere to go inside the lane.
53s and 34 twos. So they were 10 for 34 from two and 18 from 50 from three.
And then if the Bucks shooters are hitting like they're hitting, like, I think Connaughton was like, I mean, all the Bucks bench players were over like 50 or 40% from three. Giannis gets 7 assists for 3-pointers. Right there, that's
yeah. Giannis triple double, but check. You got to look at Giannis. Like, if you're Celtics, like, shit, he was 9 for 25 when we lost by 12. We were never really in the game in the second half. It's trouble, for Celtics for sure.
Well, I mean, now what is you lost game one, you better win game two. It's kind of like we said a week or two ago about the Nets in the same spot. Like, you know, we can debate matchups and everything else, but mm-hmm. the reality is you lose game two here. You're in dire straits, obviously. And Marty's right. It's fun to watch that because going into the series to me, I just thought, the Celts still have the advantage on the front line, but I guess the Bucks really did. When you look at how it went there, they're very 21st century athletic bigs. It's not like they got some guy posting up on the low block that the Celts can't handle. It's just that Portis and Giannis on the floor together, that's a lot of length. It's very Scottie Pippen plus just covering. There's
Scottie
not a ton.
Pitching.
That's no, right, Scottie Pippen. Yeah, okay. We'll see what he could do. Maybe he could be. He could join, get on the South side and help out the Sox. But I think there's not a ton of oxygen out there if you're trying to work if you're Tatum and create some space offensively.
And we haven't even mentioned Marcus Smart. I mean, he ended up logging 33 minutes, but right shoulder stingered, right quad contusion. Martin, if he's not ready, forget. This is a short series, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. After I said Milwaukee in seven, after watching game one, I feel like I would like to walk it back to Milwaukee in five, honestly. Yeah. Like, I think we saw the Celtics dominate a pretty, really bad Brooklyn Nets team. And the Celtics are good, but I don't know if they're the title favorites. Everybody had them in middle of round one. Everybody was penciling them in as a champion.
So maybe you didn't want to play the Nets because they gave you a false sense of security. You didn't want to play the Nets for a different reason than going into the reason everybody didn't want to play the Nets, right?
Right. Too much time off in between games. Yeah. Too much rest.
Exactly.
Too easy, right?
The Warriors beat Memphis. Really good game. Bummed me out. I don't know if you guys were watching, but close game down the stretch. Klay Thompson, who otherwise did nothing, hit the three to put them ahead 117-116. Then he goes to the line. He misses two. There's a scramble for the ball. It's knocked out of bounds. Clearly Memphis knocks it out of bounds. But the refs don't make a call. So they don't make a call, and when you don't make a call, you don't even go to the review. The review clearly would have shown that the ball was off Memphis. It would have been Warriors inbounding, and they would have gotten fouled and gone out. Who knows what would have happened there? Maybe they missed another two free throws. But I can't believe that they can't review that, Martin.
I've never seen them not make a call, especially with less than less than 2 minutes left in the game. Make a call and then go look at it and see which one it's going to be. I wanted Memphis to win. I picked Memphis to six. So I really thought that, especially with Draymond getting ejected, that's a game we got to win. But the idea that they didn't review that call is, I tell you what, the more gambling becomes pervasive in this business, I mean, in basketball, that type of shit is not going to fly.
Well, so that's a rule, Shaq? That's a rule that they can't review that? Because it's really
I guess
weird.
They changed, right. Yeah. They changed the rule, I guess, recently for that. But it's just a bad look that between the three officials that they can't very quickly. I mean, you saw them exchanging looks like, jump ball. What? Right. It's basically like do over. It's the equivalent of in pickup, but just we'll run it back. Let's pretend that it was ridiculous.
I think a referee, when a referee makes a call and then you need clear and convincing evidence to overturn it, but you see like 70% that it was off of one guy, like, oh crap, clear and convincing sucks. This sucks even worse. This, like, we're not making a call, and so someone is definitely getting screwed here. Like, all right,
and
then
I think they
call.
Must have
then
in their heads
make a call if you can't review.
Right, I think if the Pandora's box is open, that fans hate the 2 minute, 3 minute stop down so that they can review it. So now they're trying to accelerate things, but too late. Now we are aware of video replay and everything else. And by the way, it was egregiously bad that they couldn't make a call on that because it hit one. It hit one guy, then it hit the other guy, then I think it hit a third guy, all from the same team. Yeah. Why can't you make a call on that?
If the call didn't seem to be so, first of all, obvious, and then on video review, even more obvious, and another third thing, all right, that may be a rule, but y'all haven't done that. I've watched every single game this NBA playoffs, and every single time there's been a deflection under 2 minutes, they're going and looking at the review.
If you know that's a rule, you got to make a call. If you know that's a rule and it's going to change the game, you have to make a call.
As far as bettors go, just one last thing on that. Then they kind of screw up the clock after that. And I think that you could make a case that the Dubs grab the rebound on the jaw miss. They get a foul with like 0.3 left. And then you send I'm trying to think of who goes to the line. I think it would have been Wiggins. Wiggins gets the rebound. Wiggins would have gone there, and if he makes both of those, or at least he would have pushed it for the people who had the Dubs minus two So that and was another
the
other thing.
Yeah, that was big towards the spread for sure. But yeah, you're right. But back to that other call, like I think they could have reviewed it to see how much time to put on the clock. That's the funny part about that. But they didn't even do like that. Would have been correct. Imagine them huddling over the desk to see if there's 4.1 or 3.8, but they can't review if it actually hit. Anyway, Warriors are now minus 550 to beat Memphis. I don't know, Martin. I think this is talk about a team that needed to take advantage of the situation. Draymond Green was ejected. Klay Thompson wasn't playing well. Ja was out of his mind. They got that call at the end, and they still lost. By the way, that ejection, your Lemon Pepper Parlay podcast partner, TJ Houshmandzadeh, said the NBA is softer than baby shit. And I think he's right about that rejection. But I just think the Warriors, these might even be even teams. The Warriors just know how to close games out. I think this series is pretty probably done in five.
I don't think it's done. I think I got to give Memphis more than that. Yeah. I think I do. And plus, I think that we're not done hearing from Draymond Green this series, right? He already got ejected. The flagrant two is not going to be rescinded. They just came out with that a couple minutes ago. But he's no longer like a young guy anymore. Like Draymond Green is like a year younger than me. Like we're both at this point supposed to be responsible adults. And he's like Antonio Brown in it out of game one of this series. Mm-hmm. Like it seems to me that he's going to do something else that like he's going to be provoked because this Memphis team is not – there's no Patrick Beverley out there. Right. But they also aren't afraid of anybody. They talk a lot of stuff. I see more from him before this thing is over. And I think if that's the case too, like Jaren Jackson Jr., like he was nothing against Memphis playing against Karl Anthony Towns. But I think he had a great game last game. If he can play just a little bit like that and pull Draymond away from the rim, Golden State's not going to be able to defend Memphis. Now, I know the answer is like, oh, Golden State's going to shoot a bunch of threes. They're going to make a bunch of threes. But like you said just a second ago, Klay Thompson hasn't been the Klay Thompson that we've known him to be. Like, this is a hot take.
Yeah,
Jordan Poole's been better than him.
I mean, that's the thing. He's a splash brother. It's really crazy where their shooting comes from. And like down six, down eight, doesn't really matter. It's a couple
times. I
know I'm not saying anything new, but yeah.
I hear what Marty Weiss is saying, but this one ain't about the matchups. It's about what we talk about at this point after the game one loss that the Grizz needed to get. They didn't get it. This is what we talk about all the time about the way you build in the NBA season after season to great success. The Grizz had a very nice season. They let game one go. This series is over. Let's move on to the next one, Sixers and Heat.
All right, yeah, Sixers, Heat. Heat are a 7.5-point favorite tonight. Embiid's going to miss the first two. They're optimistic he's back for game three or four. I'm taking the Sixers. I like the 7.5. It's a good chunk. They, you know, they weren't terrible without Embiid this year. They went 6-8 without him. They beat the Nuggets on the road. They beat Memphis. They beat the Heat. They actually beat the Heat without both him and Harden. So you need Millsap, you need DeAndre Jordan, you need Paul Reed. They throw big bodies. That's how they won those six games without Embiid. Throw the big bodies at Miami. Also, last six meetings when Embiid doesn't play, Philly 4-2 advantage over Miami. 29-15 on the road. I think it's a 108-105 game. I like 7.5 points. Check.
Who gives a crap what happened in this weirdo regular season that the NBA just saw there? I'm not referencing those. Those are good numbers that you just threw out. It is a star league. There are only five players out there. The Sixers' best player, who is an MVP, a lot of people think should have been the MVP, ain't going to be one of them. This is bad. And I don't know, as you said earlier, Malik Willis, does he really exist? As we've talked about, do the Miami Heat really exist? Nobody talks about this team. Heat! Of course they're going to win this game, and how? Lay the minus 7.5.
All right. Martin, you got to break this tie.
Yeah, I'm taking Philadelphia and the points, but the play I really like is the over. Without Embiid, Philadelphia, they're going to be running up and down the court. Everybody, this is going to be a higher scoring game than normal without Embiid. kind of obviously he's scoring leader, so say he's a ball.
You take your life in your hands taking overs in these games, these NBA games, that's for sure. What is it? 208.5?
I mean, yeah, I got 208.5.
Yeah.
But I also am taking Philly +7.5. But the play I like the best is the over.
All right.
But I'm with you, Sal. I think Philly's gonna keep this one close.
And then the late night game, we got Mavericks at the Suns. Suns 5.5-point favorite. I'm going Phoenix here. I had trouble with them, man. That was a tough series to root for them against the Pelicans. Pelicans played tough, but they just kind of own this team. They won the last nine against the Mavericks. 10-point points per game, opponent's points per game difference. You know, Paul steps it up when he needs to. His point adjustment for regular season to playoffs, he's +7. I like Mikal Bridges over in points today. Lucas said he and Smart guard him the toughest in the league. He could be their kryptonite. 110, 100. I like all the unders, but 110, 100. The Suns cover the 5.5. Shaq, what do you like this game?
I'll take the Mavs +5.5. I like what the Mavs have done so far. Jason Kidd, for all the skepticism, and I was one of them going in like, really? Jason Kidd, you got to have him? Well, for what it matters, this is the first series they've won in quite some time. I think that they show up for this one. They know that they can really make a dent in Phoenix's championship run here with, it feels very much like Memphis to me. They have to have this one series to be compelling. I'm rooting for Dallas to make that so. +5.5, I say.
All right. Martin, what's your pick?
Yeah, I'm taking the Suns 5.5. I think Mikal Bridges gives Luka hell. And I think, again, the Pelicans were a really bad matchup. Chris Paul and Alvarado, it was very fun to watch, but ultimately that was a six-game series that probably could have been a 4 or 5-game series had Devin Booker not hurt himself. If Booker's back, I think the Suns win this game, and I think they win it kind of going away, and Mavericks are going to end up making some adjustments to push this to be a better series.
All right, there you go. We're in the thick of things, playoffs here, and we're in the thick of the baseball season where you can turn K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a risk-free first bet up to $1,000, and with FanDuel same-game parlays, you can turn little bets into big paydays. Just sign up, place your first bet, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sports book. Parlay insurance, one of the reasons I love betting on FanDuel. It has great promotions every day. It has safe and secure. It's a safe and secure app, and you get paid fast. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code EXTRAPOINTS to get started with your risk-free first bet up to $1,000. By the way, guys, so I flew into Phoenix for Harry's wedding. And so this was going to be the first time I was going to be able to utilize the FanDuel app, right? So they're very particular about, they're all over you. You can't start betting until you land. You can't sign up for an account until you land, right? And you're in Phoenix. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to calm down. We were about 3 minutes off the ground before I got a signal. I had 7 bets placed. I had signed up and had 7 bets placed when the wheels stopped rolling there. That's how crazy it was. That's how excited I was. I won a little money. We'll get the Red Sox killed me yesterday, but otherwise it's fun. FanDuel Sportsbook, go get it. I'm going to give my play of the day here. Baseball. We talked about baseball turning K's into cash. Dalton Jeffries, that's my K guy today, makes a start for the Athletics. 5th of the season. He's 1-3 with a 3.26 ERA. They're going up against the Rays, who haven't been that great. They're .500 on the road, so I like getting the plus money with the A's. +134, A's over Rays. Sheck, what's your play of the day? You got a lot of hockey, 4 games tonight, right?
Like I said before, and I'll say it again, it's a great day for hockey. A lot of juicy matchups. If I could watch any, Lightning versus Leafs would be the one I would focus on tonight, even though they're both wearing blue and white. It's just the worst to look at. I hate it so much. But anyhow, I am going to go with, for the soul of hockey, any spaghetti can disagree about what's good for the sport. What you want are all offensive teams playing each other. I'm not saying the Penguins because it's good for ratings. I'm talking about the way they play the game. So too is it for the Edmonton Oilers. They've got to hammer the LA Kings. All the way to the world on Connor McDavid and his pal Leon Draisaitl. I say they show up and they do what's right for the good of the sport, which is take down the LA Kings. I say minus a goal and a half, the Oilers at home plus 125. And I think Connor McDavid understands the stakes here. And I think he's great enough to deal with the curse of Spoelstra, that he's supposed to take this team far. I say he gets a goal as well, if you want to sprinkle something on that as well. Oilers win by at least two goals tonight over the overmatched Kings.
All right. That's a fun one for sure. Did you see, by the way, did you see Jonathan Quick there? Did he give up that goal? Did he give that terrible goal up the other day?
No, I didn't see it.
Did I miss that? Was that right, Spaghetti? It was like a dribbler in from 40 feet. But I don't know if that's an omen or what. Hey, our friend John Hamm, he texted me last night, laying a lot of wood with these Blues in 7-4 to win the series. He likes it. That's basically a pick 'em series too. But all right, Martin, give us your pick of the day.
I'm going with the over 208.5 in Miami, Philadelphia. Right. It's going to be a slugfest. It's going to be a sweat. It's going to be one that you're watching with your eyes like this as you sit there with Noel Joel Embiid, the scoring leader in the NBA or top three scoring leader in the NBA, and you take an over in the playoffs. But that's what I'm doing.
All right. NHL, we went over. I guess we're not going to do this cap of consequences thing with Spaghetti and
the yellow belly coward.
Yeah, yellow and black.
Okay, you want here's what I will do. I mean, it's several months out there, but I mean, I feel very good right now. Pittsburgh Steelers season win total over 7.5. Give it to me all day long.
No, we're done. No, we're
what
done.
What do you mean
done?
We're done
with football talk. NHL. I'll give you who's your. So you're going to take the Rangers to win the cup? This is so effed up here.
No, right? I'm not taking take the Rangers.
All right,
to win
what's
the
your
cup.
Pick? You're on record.
Well, I the said Avs in the preseason.
Avs are favored plus 320. Panthers right there plus 550. Flames 7-1. Spaghetti's Rangers are 17-1. I think the Kings are at 50-1. There's a bunch of teams in between there, of course.
The best thing for the sport would be, I know Canadian teams playing each other doesn't equal big ratings, but again, for the soul of the game, for the nature of the way these teams play each other, the Leafs versus the Oilers would be the best matchup. And I think that I said this in when we did the extra points with all the fellows from AAO minus Cousin Sal there. I said Oilers Leafs in the final. At the time, it was plus 10,500. So if that hits, that would be pretty good. It's only plus 5,000 now, which isn't that much worse. I'm rooting for that. I think it's going to be, though, the Avs. And I think it's – I mean, the Rangers are really good. I like them quite a bit. I'm going to go with the Florida Panthers. They've been a machine in the second half of the season. Right. They're just that would also be a fun one. I just don't know that anybody really cares about what goes on in Miami, Florida when it comes to ice hockey.
Right. Shout out to Mikey Meatballs because he got me a Florida Panthers futures win. I asked him on day one of hockey season what futures to bet. He went 1-for-3, but the Panthers hit.
So you're going too. You're going Panthers also? Mark,
I'm
going to
defer. I'll go with whoever Meatballs says is going to win it. That's my endorsement.
Meatballs, right, I forgot. I think you said Calgary, right?
I do have a Tampa Calgary final. I do have Tampa winning it.
No, Tampa. Right. That's the one. The thing we can't have is Tampa. We
that's
don't
exactly
want them going three straight.
That's exactly where
Lightning
I'm going.
Lightning Flames,
Tampa.
Book it.
Lightning 11-1 because I think obviously it's now a pick'em series against Toronto, who's the more established regular season team. Guess what? The Lightning have been here. That goalie matchup is disgusting right now for Toronto, right? Jack Campbell is I think dead last in the league against the best right there.
Well, the reason that the Panthers everybody would pick against them is because of who they have between the pipes, Bobrovsky, but they're an offensive powerhouse. They don't play a ton of defense in front of Bob to his in his defense there. They're like a double digit goal scoring kind of machine right now. The Leafs, your point is fascinating though, and exactly right. For some reason, the curse of Spoelstra is much more on the Leafs than the two-time defending Stanley Cup champs. This sets up really nice for Tampa. I just hope, like hell, it doesn't happen. We don't want that. Tampa St. Pete is the home of the dynasty of the 21st century. It ain't right. Root against that, if anything else.
I'm with Meatballs here. 11-1. I think if they get by this series, I think you're going to see them at like plus 350. You're like, oh, they're back, and now the field is down to 8, you're and right. They're going to do their thing. Stamkos, Hedman, Kucherov, right? All still very serviceable players, and probably with the best playoff goalie in recent years. So Lightning 11-1. Spaghetti, what do you like? What's your pick? You got to go Rangers, right?
I'm gonna ride with them just because, like, I don't feel great about it right. For a number of reasons, but I did pick them. Meatballs made a bracket for us, and I think I picked Avs, Rangers. The Rangers going on a run here. They beat I have them beating the Leafs in the ECF, and I have the two juggernauts facing off, I believe, in the WCF. So, but yeah, I have Avs, Rangers, and I do have the Rangers winning.
Say it out loud, though, Spaghetti. Say it on the record here. It's being recorded. Say like Broadway Joe did forever ago. Make a guarantee.
No, I'll say this.
This is rich.
I'll say this. while in the great state of Arizona, like Sal did, I put a sum of money on the Rangers to win the cup at plus 1600. So I'm just going to be a man of my word and ride my bet. So that's what I'll say.
He was very,
what about against the
very,
Penguins, though?
Very upset that
well,
they were
to win the cup
for the Penguins. Very upset.
To win the cup, Dave, they have to beat the Penguins. So
I know I'm saying guarantee the Penguins series. That's all.
I do guarantee it. And I think it's good. Insanity. It's insanity to pick otherwise. This one series would be an all-time collapse letdown if they don't win this series.
We have to get going, but before we sign off, Babyface, you're very upset with Dave.
Do yins believe in miracles?
You're
yes!
very upset with Dave. Babyface.
This is, I mean, as Dave knows, Badger Bob used to say, this is a great day for hockey. This is not a great day for hockey. This is like the mayor of a city. And Dave, I consider him to be the mayor of Pittsburgh, the unofficial mayor, yeah. backing out of a bet against another mayor. It's like the mayor.
Yeah.
Oh,
true.
You,
it's
know what?
True.
You know what?
That's a
yeah,
good
because,
take.
Because I think you're too placing too much importance on the cap of consequences being like a I told you so kind of thing. Whereas it just should be like, one of you should be punished for, you've spent a lot of time talking about your respective teams. It shouldn't come back to
all
how
right,
much
I've
confidence
listened,
you
listen,
have.
Listen, if you want me to make that bet because yeah. in the spirit of support, I'll do
sure,
it.
Sure, of course. We don't get this.
I just want it made clear. Yeah. I don't know what jive Marty Weiss or Babyface are talking yeah. about, like that I think that or I'm. Or
no,
or,
it's fine.
If you want me to stand by my team to the tune of a slip of paper in a dirty ball cap, so be it. Count me in.
Good.
Look at that, Sal. Bullying works.
Of course it does. Of course.
Do yins believe in miracles? Yeah.
All right.
Let's go, Pens. One last run. One last run. Come on, kid. Crosby.
You know what? Maybe
come
we'll
come on,
do this.
Geno Malkin. One
by
last
Thursday.
Time.
All right. By Thursday, there'll be one or two games played in that series. By Thursday morning.
There'll one? Be one.
Probably just one. The one. All right. We will. How about we establish what the downside is for the cap of consequences for each of you? We'll pick out. We'll pick. Should we do it that way? What do you think?
Well, if the Pens lose way, game then? One, count me out. Then I'm
good. Of course. We're almost counting you out already. All right. Sheck, do you think we got Harry up in the chair or no? For the Hava Nagila.
I took the over. 3.5 felt like it was an easy
you're
one.
You're a winner.
I'm trying to think.
Under 3.5 quarterbacks,
Martin,
over 3.5.
So with Mikey Meatballs, yeah.
Yeah.
Mikey Meatballs lifts, Spaghetti lifts.
Yes.
The brothers are strong athlete types. I would say that because of the power. And Sal probably could do it too. I'm sure it was a gargantuan effort. But
I got out of the way. I literally got out of the way. Some say I tried to pull him down. But no, it was Spaghetti. It was Meatballs. Joel, were you the third? And then there was some like drunk guy who was very excited just to try to be part of it. Right, Joel, Babyface, were you the third that tried it?
I was more just supporting Mikey to make sure we
who
didn't
was the third?
Some random guy. I'm not sure who
no,
was.
No, I know, thankfully, but there were four.
Yeah.
Spaghetti, was there definitely four, right? It went over 3.5. And you guys
yeah.
got them up.
Yeah. We have video. We do
yeah,
have
we do
video.
Have video, yes.
All right. All right, good. All right, so that's that. We'll talk about that on Against
the fourth guy was Malik Willis.
Yeah, he's dead now. He's not around. Fourth guy is Malik Willis. All right, that'll do it for another episode of Extra Points. Just want to let everyone know out there, just a reminder, quick reminder. You may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.